I invite you to hear God's word, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him,
"If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread."
But he answered,
"It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'"
Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him,
"If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'"
Jesus said to him,
"Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'"
Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him,
"All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me."
Jesus said to him,
"Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'"
Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to proclaim,
"Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
Becky, I think Steve was supposed to preach.
I know you did. You did a great job on the children's moment. Thank you very much.
Something, I'm getting feedback. I don't know if y'all are hearing it. Temptation. I wonder if any of us have ever faced temptation. You know, we're running late, we have to stop for a red light, and there isn't any other car around. You can't see any car coming for miles. What would it hurt to go ahead and go through that light, right? And what about that speed limit?
You get picked up.
Sure. You always check to make sure there's not a police officer around. Not that I would know, but... about that speed limit, surely that they can't be serious, right? 55 miles per hour, it's way too slow. If we drive that slow, we will cause a traffic jam, so it makes a lot more sense to keep up with the rest of the traffic. I could go without that new iPhone and give the money to a shelter, but the shelter's got a lot of money back in December for the holidays. So I can get the phone now and save up to give money around the holidays this year. I know it says no parking, but I'm just running in for 1 minute. How many times a day does the serpent from the Garden of Eden or the tempter in the wilderness ask us to think, maybe consider a different way of being? You remember the garden, right? God placed Adam in the Garden of Eden and placed Eve there after she came along. Before Eve arrived on the scene, though, God told Adam, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." You can eat of everything but this one tree. The world is yours, except for this one little tree. One day, one of God's other creatures, the serpent, struck up a conversation with Eve, the woman. Eve does not appear to be scared of the serpent. Eve's not even surprised that a serpent is talking to her. It appears that communication between animals and humans was very common in the Garden of Eden. God's creatures talked with each other. The serpent, though, was more crafty, more shrewd, more sensible than the other creatures. The serpent, created by God, so that means the serpent is considered good, with a good-thinking mind, asked Eve a pretty harmless question. Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? It's a yes or no question. We have asked these questions of God's word ourselves. Did God say we shall not kill anyone? Did Jesus say that there is any neighbor we shouldn't love? Is it really necessary to give money to a shelter in January? Pretty harmless questions. Questions that we're just looking for clarification. Questions that we're asking for more information. Obviously, the serpent just wanted a little clarification on the fruit eating situation. And Eve answers the serpent by saying, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden.'" No, you can't even touch it, or you shall die. And we know that God told Adam not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or he will die. Now, either God or Adam has told Eve about this tree, but it's even more serious now. You can't even touch that tree, or you will die. The serpent then says, "Oh, Eve, you won't die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You won't get a ticket if you run the red light, unless Ernie calls the cops. There isn't anyone around. I mean, who would know?" The serpent has given Eve something to think about. The serpent doesn't say eat of the fruit, nor does the serpent pull the fruit off of the tree and hand it to Eve to eat. Eve and Adam had a choice that day, a choice that was always readily available to them. If it wasn't, God would have never said, "Don't eat of the fruit of that tree." But the serpent raises some doubt. "Eve, what if you could eat of that fruit and not die? What if God is only trying to keep you from being like God? What if you could have complete freedom by eating that fruit?" The beginnings of humans not trusting God, the Creator, has started. Maybe humans do know better. Maybe we shouldn't listen to God. Maybe God is just out for God's self. The serpent did speak some truth, after all. When God banished Adam and Eve from the garden after they ate of the fruit, God said, "See, they have become like one of us, knowing good and evil." Now, temptation in and of itself isn't bad. The temptation of wanting all of the knowledge, God's knowledge from that tree, really isn't bad if it is that we have acted, decided, ventured forth on our own without God, without even talking with God, without trusting God. That's the problem. This acting on our own has become the norm for us. The Hebrews trusted God to get them out of Egypt, remember? But then they didn't trust God from day to day as they wandered in the wilderness. They were tempted by hunger and thirst, and their response was to discount God. Israel trusted God at times, but most of the time they took matters into their own hands. They were tempted by the success of the armies of other gods, and they discounted their own God. Prophets tried to call them back, to get them to act with God, instead of believing that they know better than God, that they didn't need God, but we know how that went. How many times have we acted without one single thought of God? How many times have we tried to control the world around us as an individual without one single thought of God? Temptation's out there for all of us. Temptation lies at the very heart of every choice we make. New iPhone? It began with Adam and Eve. And even Jesus faced temptation. It sure would be easier if Jesus had never confronted temptation. It'd be so much easier to justify our actions if we believe that Jesus just does not understand what life is like now. We are surrounded by people who believe differently than us, look different, talk different. We need to put some laws in place to keep people in their place. It would be so much easier to believe that Jesus was so divine that he never had to struggle with temptation like that, like we do. That would let us off the hook when we give in to temptation. The Gospels tell us a different story, though. Jesus, after he was baptized, as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Then Jesus was led by that same Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the tempter. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. At the end of the time, he was famished. We can only imagine how vulnerable he must have been at that point. And it is at that vulnerable point that the tempter comes to Jesus and says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." "Aren't you hungry, Jesus? 40 days and 40 nights is a long time to go without food. There are stones aplenty. Just turn several into loaves of bread. What will that matter?" The temptation of actually being able to put food in his mouth must have been overpowering. Not unlike the temptation we may have if we were starving. We would do almost anything to get food if we had not eaten in 40 days. Jesus does not exit, though, from being human at this point, and by some miracle make life easier for himself. Instead, he says no. The tempter then takes Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem, places him on the pinnacle of the temple. "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. The scriptures say that God will command angels to come and take care of you." And Jesus could do it. Jesus could jump off. God would send angels to catch him. Think of how many people would have believed at that moment. Right then and there, people would have known that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus says, "No. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." From the pinnacle of the temple, the tempter takes Jesus to a very high mountain and says, "The world is yours. As far as you can see, everything, all of the riches, all of the wealth, everything. All you have to do is just fall down and worship me. It doesn't matter who you worship." Jesus says, "Away with you, tempter, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only God." Then the tempter left, and suddenly angels came and waited on Jesus. Having power over everything in the world isn't that bad of an idea, is it? Jesus could have ruled the world right then and there, and in that, Jesus would have trusted in himself instead of God. Was Jesus tempted? You better believe it. Jesus experienced very human temptations. Food, prestige, wealth. As one scholar has said, Jesus' response to these temptations is uniquely Jesus. But the temptations are not unique to Jesus. Think of the shortcuts that would be so easy to take if we could have status, prestige, and wealth. It doesn't matter who we step on when we're climbing the corporate ladder, does it? To each her his own. Everyone has the same opportunity to fight for a position, and I'm just doing what anybody else would do. So what if I got a little insider trading information? Is it really that wrong to buy and sell stocks with a little illegal information? I didn't cause the rise or the drop in the market. I just decided to buy or sell. I'm hungry, and my children have not eaten, and I have no money. If I just take one jar of peanut butter off of the shelf at the grocery store, who am I to complain if the money that feeds my family is coming from drug money? Everybody has to make a living somehow. Why should I worry about civil rights for everyone? If everyone was like me, then we wouldn't even have to have this conversation. You know, if I don't laugh at their racist jokes, then they won't let me join their group. From our beginnings, we have faced many temptations. And many times we have not listened to God. The church, Christ Church in general, has faced many temptations to be powerful or to bypass the hard work of being God's children. What do we do when we are faced with hard choices? They may not always be bad choices. Eating the fruit to obtain knowledge wasn't necessarily bad. Jesus could have easily turned the stones to bread, given himself nourishment, working our way up the corporate ladder. None of these choices included killing others, blowing up buildings. They weren't bad choices. And Jesus, famished, vulnerable, was able to say no to food, prestige, and power. We usually hear this text on the first Sunday of Lent, if you're getting that Lenten feeling. It is our yearly reminder to stand strong and resist temptation. We start the 40 days to Easter working on ourselves, getting our lives back on track so we can celebrate on Easter morning, resurrection. This year, we're reading it on the second Sunday of Epiphany, where Jesus is revealed as the Son of God. It isn't enough that the scriptures have God declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. That is an epiphany. No, we have to read of Jesus facing human temptations, temptations that hit all of us no matter our walk in life. And these temptations come when Jesus does not have 1 ounce of strength left. And he says no. That, my friends, is about as divine as one can get. He truly is the Son of God. It's funny, though, how we have certain texts that we read in the season of Epiphany, the Magi, baptism, Jesus turning water into wine. And this text, which shows even more clearly that Jesus is truly the Son of God, never shows up this time of year. Sort of like the text later on in Matthew where Jesus is tempted again. This time he's on the cross. And those who pass by deride him, shaking their heads and say, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Temptation? I know if I had that kind of power, I would have given into temptation long before the cross and saved myself. I would have put myself first before the rest of the world. Temptation. Decisions we have to make. Temptations around food to eat, how to spend our money. Temptation of putting ourselves first, sometimes at the detriment to the world around us. We humans need something greater than ourselves. Thank God we have a Christ who is stronger than us. Thank God we have a Christ who totally trusts God. Thank God we have a Christ who faced the same temptations that we have faced, the church has faced. Thank God for the unbelievable gift of the one, the only one I know of, who could say no. May we all know the love of God found in Christ, who showed us a much better way to live in this world. Amen. At this time in our service, we issue an invitation.